This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Mary Jo Pullen, and this is Diabetic Living. Type 1. Getting a late type 1 diagnosis. When Billy Mills was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes as a 32-year-old, he was surprised but not shocked. Billy had a family history of diabetes, but for many adults diagnosed later in life, a type 1 diagnosis comes as a huge shock, and everyday life drastically changes. Maggie Stewart, a diabetes educator from the Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute, explains what a type 1 diabetes diagnosis in adults means. A cup of coffee, an early morning walk, a weekend away, or even a work presentation. Each of these previously regular activities, plus many, many others, suddenly have to be looked at in a completely different way once a type 1 diabetes diagnosis in adulthood is made. Carbohydrate consumption, activity, routines, and stress levels are just a few of the many considerations you now have to factor more carefully into your lives. So what should you do once you're diagnosed as an adult with type 1 diabetes? And how do you get your head around this life-changing event? Why would someone be diagnosed with type 1 diabetes as an adult? We don't know the exact cause of type 1 diabetes, but we do know that genetics play a large part and that it can't be prevented. People who develop diabetes have certain genes that make type 1 more likely. And then an environmental trigger occurs, which kickstarts the autoimmune reaction that destroys your insulin-producing cells. It's difficult to pinpoint what those triggers are, but we do know that certain viruses have been associated with triggering type 1 diabetes. We also know that the cause of type 1 is not lifestyle related, but that a healthy lifestyle does help with management. How is type 1 diabetes diagnosed in adults? The journey towards arriving at a type 1 diagnosis can take a number of paths. For many, the diagnosis comes during childhood, with two noticeable peak periods for diagnosis occurring between the ages of 4 to 7 and 10 to 14. This is childhood onset diabetes. However, recent research has found that more than half of all new cases of type 1 occur in adults, adult onset diabetes. How they arrive at that diabetes destination varies. For adults diagnosed with type 1, we frequently see that a type 2 diabetes diagnosis comes before a type 1 diagnosis. A significant proportion of these people have originally been misclassified with type 2, as there are many overlapping symptoms between type 1 and type 2, and no definitive diagnostic tool. It's estimated that about 10% of adults diagnosed with type 2 actually have type 1, and that more than a third of adults with type 1 were initially treated for type 2. Latent autoimmune disease in adults, or LADA, shares features of both type 1 and type 2. It begins in adulthood, but does not initially require insulin for glucose control. It slowly gets worse over time, and because the pancreas is still making some insulin, many with LADA are first misclassified with type 2. This is a journey frequently seen in adults diagnosed with type 1. Following a period of not needing any insulin support, those with LADA may then need basal insulin, the background insulin that keeps blood glucose levels consistent during fasting periods. Then, as the disease progresses, they may need to introduce the fast-acting bolus insulin at mealtimes to keep levels consistent following a meal. The deterioration may be slow and last years, But for others, the deterioration can be rapid. Adults diagnosed with classic type 1 diabetes are usually very unwell at the time of diagnosis and require insulin for survival. What should I do if diagnosed with type 1 diabetes as an adult? Type 1 and type 2 diabetes are two very distinct diseases that have different management strategies, and LADA adds another dimension, so a new classification or a new diagnosis can come with lots of confusion, anxiety, and significant relearning. For example, if you've previously been diagnosed with type 2 and now have type 1, a brisk walk to lower high glucose levels is no longer the approach you should take to manage it. You now need insulin. These differences in strategies take significant readjustment and can be dangerous if not applied. No matter how or when you are diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, you need the support of a diabetes management team. The first step is to see a diabetes educator and a dietitian, because anyone newly diagnosed with type 1 needs to understand how to manage their diabetes and how food, and specifically carbohydrates, impacts blood glucose levels. But it's not as simple as just food and insulin. Throughout a diabetes journey, there will need to be a diabetes team, which can include a primary care physician, a diabetes educator, a dietitian, an endocrinologist, a podiatrist, a dentist, and an ophthalmologist. Getting the right counsel is imperative. Understanding the factors that affect glucose levels. There are 42 different factors that affect your glucose levels. So if you eat the same thing every morning, your body's not going to respond in the same way every time, and you may need differing amounts of insulin. Similarly, you would likely need a different amount of insulin at basketball training compared to playing a basketball game, because the competition of a game comes with increased stress hormones, and grabbing a takeaway latte could have a very different response to grabbing a long black. Being unwell, altitude, and even the weather can have an impact. You have to know what those other factors are that are impacting your glucose levels and factor them into your decisions. That comes with educational support. Accepting your diagnosis. Billy Mills works as a carpenter on large construction projects. Despite having some knowledge of type 1 diabetes following his brother's childhood diagnosis, he found his own diagnosis as a 32-year-old difficult to accept, particularly as he didn't have any symptoms. I had to have a health examination, and they found I had high glucose levels, he says. I had tests and was originally diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, so I was put on metformin. Everything was fine to start with, but then I took 3 months off work, and I think because I was less active during that time, I got worse. Billy was referred to the Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute, where he was diagnosed with LADA, but he now requires both slow-release and rapid-release insulin. There's a lot to learn in a short period of time. I have to be careful around decisions I make, like when I have a takeaway meal or consume alcohol, and around my football training, Billy says. I now have a continuous glucose monitor, which helps, but I also listen to my body. When I was first diagnosed, mentally, it got to me a lot. But my advice would be to lean on your diabetes management team. They are there to support you. And whatever you do, don't let a diagnosis eat away at you. You can continue to have a full life. Need to know. 6 need to know facts about dead in bed syndrome. Dead-in-bed syndrome, or DIBS, refers to the sudden unexplained death of a young person with type 1 diabetes who goes to bed seemingly fine and is found dead in an undisturbed bed. 1. young in type 1. Dead in bed syndrome almost always impacts young people living with type 1 diabetes, children, adolescents, and young adults. The data available on the syndrome suggests that DIBS is responsible for 6% of all deaths in people with diabetes below 40 years of age. There have not been any significant reports of DIBS affecting people with type 2 diabetes. 2. Unknown cause. Dead in bed syndrome is poorly understood, and a cause has not been definitively established. However, evidence suggests that it is most likely caused by nocturnal hypoglycemia, or a severe low at night during sleep, which in turn triggers a fatal cardiac arrhythmia, or irregular heartbeat. But because it is difficult to diagnose hypoglycemia after death, autopsy results are often negative. 3. Hypoanxiety. Experiencing a hypo when the blood glucose level drops is common for people with type 1. Almost 50% of hypoglycemic events occur at night during sleep. For many people with type 1 or their carers, the only sure way of avoiding a hypo overnight is to wake every few hours and test blood glucose levels. 4. Life-saving tech. Thankfully, dead-in-bed syndrome is relatively rare, and the introduction of certain technologies means it's now even less common. The use of a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, especially one that works in conjunction with an insulin pump, means that people with type 1 can go to bed at night feeling a bit more secure, as their CGM will alert them, or their caregivers, if their blood glucose levels start dropping rapidly or below a certain level. 5. And this really just applies to Australia. Thanks to the Danny Foundation, all Australians living with type 1 are eligible to apply for access to subsidized continuous glucose monitoring and flash continuous glucose monitoring products through the National Diabetes Service Scheme. Depending on individual circumstances, some people can access fully subsidized CGM products, and others can gain access with a copayment. 6. Pump it up. Although CGMs work well on their own, this technology combined with an insulin pump can be life-changing for someone living with type 1. CGM can communicate with the pump, and insulin delivery is adjusted based on blood glucose levels throughout the day. Although the cost of an insulin pump is prohibitive to many people, around $8,500 to $10,000, many private health insurance policies will cover the cost. If you can't afford private health coverage, organizations like the Danny Foundation and JDRF provide funding for eligible families. Let's move on to some recipes. Fresh from the can fish. Canned tuna might not seem exciting, but it's nutritious, delicious, and something that most people have sitting in their pantry. 5 benefits, health benefits of tuna. 1, it's an affordable source of high quality protein. 2, it's a useful source of the amino acid taurine. Studies suggest this may help protect against heart disease. 3, tuna, when canned in water, is low in fat, with just 1 gram of fat in a 100 gram edible portion. 4, canned tuna in water is also low in calories but high in protein, which makes you feel fuller, making it a useful inclusion in a weight loss diet. 5. Both fresh and canned varieties of tuna are a useful source of vitamins and minerals, such as B vitamins, especially niacin, which is B3, which supports the nervous system and the skin. Canned tuna is also a good source of calcium, which supports healthy bones and muscle contraction. Magnesium, required for energy, and vitamin D, which supports the immune system and may contribute to bone strength and brain function. So let's start with charred veg and tuna niçoise with creamy yogurt dressing. Our first ingredient is 5 ounces of green beans trimmed, 6 green onions or scallions trimmed, 2 teaspoons of olive oil, 5 ounces of cherry tomatoes halved, some freshly ground pepper, 1 tablespoon of fat-free natural yogurt, 1 teaspoon of mustard powder or gluten-free mustard powder, 1 teaspoon of red wine vinegar, some freshly ground black pepper, 2 little gem lettuce leaves separated, a 6.5 ounce can of tuna in spring water drained, 4 pitted black olives sliced, and 2 eggs softly boiled and halved. And to boil the eggs, simply bring a small saucepan of water to a boil over high heat. Add the eggs and reduce to medium heat or a simmer. Cook for 5 minutes for a softly boiled egg or 7 minutes if you prefer it a bit firmer. Okay, first bring a preheat a grill on high and line a baking tray with baking paper. Bring a small saucepan of water to a boil over high heat. Add the beans and the green onions and cook for 2 minutes. Drain and rinse under cold water. Dry well with a clean tea towel. Put the beans and the scallions in a small bowl and toss with 1 teaspoon of the oil. Transfer to the lined tray. Place the tomatoes, cut side up, on the baking tray. Season with pepper. Grill for 10 minutes or until the tomatoes start to soften and char. Set aside to cool slightly. Meanwhile, put the yogurt, mustard powder, vinegar, and remaining oil in a small bowl. Season with pepper. Whisk until well combined. Arrange the lettuce leaves, tuna, olives, and eggs in shallow bowls or on plates. Pile on the green onions, green beans, and tomatoes. Drizzle over the remaining dressing and serve. Nutritional information per serving, 292 calories. Protein 33 grams, total fat 13 grams, saturated fat 3 grams. Carbs 8 grams, fiber 6 grams, sodium 573 milligrams. Carb exchanges are 1/2. Glycemic index estimate is low. This is gluten-free and lower carb. Next we have spinach and tuna pancakes. Prep 10 minutes, cook 15 minutes. This serves 2 as a main. The first ingredient is 2 teaspoons of olive oil, 2 cloves of garlic chopped, 8 to 9 ounces of baby spinach leaves, 1 tablespoon of passata or tomato puree, a 3.5 ounce can of tuna in spring water drained, a cup of cottage cheese, 2 eggs, 4 tablespoons of plain wholemeal flour or gluten-free flour. And then to make a salad, a 4.5 ounce can of no added sodium corn kernels rinsed and drained, 1 small red onion finely chopped, 6 cherry tomatoes cut into quarters, 10 basil leaves chopped, 4 pitted Kalamata olives sliced, and 2 teaspoons of balsamic vinegar. To make the salad, combine all the ingredients in a bowl. Cover and set aside. Heat 1 teaspoon of the oil in a large nonstick frying pan over medium heat. Add the garlic and cook, stirring for 1 minute. Stir in the spinach and cook, stirring for 1 to 2 minutes or until the spinach wilts. Remove the pan from the heat and stir in the passata or tomato puree, tuna, and cottage cheese. Cover to keep warm. Put the eggs, flour, and water in a small bowl. Whisk until well combined. Heat the remaining oil in a medium nonstick frying pan over medium heat. Add half the batter and swirl around the pan to coat the base. Cook for 1 to 2 minutes or until set. Use a palette knife to flip over and continue to cook on the other side for 1 minute. Transfer to a plate and repeat with the remaining batter. Divide the pancakes between serving plates. Spoon the filling down one side, roll up, and cut in half. Serve with salad. So it's kind of like a burrito. Nutritional information per serving, 495 calories. Protein, 43 grams. Total fat, 18 grams. Saturated fat, 4 grams. Carbs, 32 grams. Fiber, 11 grams. Sodium, 668 milligrams. Carb exchange is 2. Glycemic index estimate is medium. Next, we have pesto, cannellini bean, and tuna jackets. And what we're talking about here is stuffed potato, baked potato, or in this case, a sweet potato. So begin with 2 7-ounce orange sweet potatoes, half of a 15-ounce can of rinsed and drained, no added sodium, cannellini beans, 2 tablespoons of basil pesto or gluten-free pesto, 2 tablespoons of light cream cheese, a 3 or 3.5-ounce can of tuna in spring water, drained, half of a red onion finely chopped, the zest of 1 lemon, some freshly ground black pepper, 1 tablespoon of pine nuts toasted, and a small handful of basil leaves. Begin by preheating your oven to 180 degrees centigrade fan forced or 400 degrees Fahrenheit conventional. Line a baking tray with baking paper. Use a skewer to pierce the potatoes a few times. Bake for 40 minutes or until really soft. Alternatively, place the sweet potato on a paper towel and microwave it on high or 100% for 7 minutes or until tender. Combine the beans, pesto, cream cheese, tuna, red onion, and lemon zest in a small bowl. Season with pepper. Split the baked potatoes and stuff with the tuna filling. Top with the pine nuts and basil leaves. Nutritional information per serving, 483 calories. Protein, 25 grams. Total fat, 24 grams. Saturated fat, 6 grams. Carbs, 37 grams. Fiber, 11 grams. Sodium, 231 milligrams. Carb exchange is 2.5. Glycemic index estimate, low. Next, we have lemon spaghetti with tuna and broccoli. Prep 10 minutes, cook 10 minutes, serves 4 as a main. Begin with 3/4 of a pound of dried spaghetti or gluten-free pasta. 1/2 pound of broccoli cut into small florets. 2 green onions or scallions finely chopped. 1/2 cup of green olives pitted and halved. 2 tablespoons of drained capers. 6.5-ounce can of tuna in olive oil, undrained, the zest and juice of 1 lemon, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, some freshly ground black pepper. Begin by bringing a large saucepan of water to a boil over high heat. Add the pasta and cook for 10 to 12 minutes or until al dente, adding the broccoli for the last 2 to 3 minutes or until tender. Meanwhile, combine the chopped scallions, olives, capers, tuna, and lemon zest with juice in a large serving bowl. Drain the pasta and broccoli and add to the bowl with the oil. Season with pepper. Toss well to combine. Nutritional information per serving, 431 calories. Protein, 25 grams. Total fat, 12 grams. Saturated fat, 2 grams. Carbs, 52 grams. Fiber, 6 grams. Sodium, 662 milligrams. Carb exchange is 3.5. Glycemic index estimate is low. And next we have tuna, asparagus, and white bean salad. Prep 10 minutes, cook 5 minutes, serves 4 as a light meal. Begin with 2 bunches of asparagus, woody ends trimmed. 1 15-ounce can of tuna in spring water drained. 2 15-ounce cans of no added sodium cannellini beans drained and rinsed. 1 red onion, very finely chopped. 2 tablespoons of capers, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of red wine vinegar, 2 tablespoons of finely chopped tarragon. Begin by bringing a large pan of water to a boil over high heat. Add the asparagus and cook for 2 to 3 minutes or until tender. Drain well and run under cold running water. Drain well. Cut into 2 to 3 inch lengths. Put the asparagus, tuna, beans, onion, and capers in a large bowl and toss to combine. Whisk the oil, vinegar, and tarragon in a bowl. Pour over the salad and toss to combine. Place in the fridge and chill until ready to serve. Nutritional information per serving, 294 calories. Protein, 36 grams. Total fat, 7 grams. Saturated fat, 1 gram. Carbs, 17 grams. Fiber, 11 grams. Sodium, 538 milligrams. Carb exchange is 1. Glycemic index estimate is low. This is gluten-free and lower carb. Well, that's all we have time for today. I'll be back next time with more diabetic living. I'm Mary Jo Pullen. Have a terrific day.